Good morning and welcome to the breakfast show on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lawson. This is the right table for you to start your day with positive thoughts and solid spiritual foods. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, depending on where you are or on our Faith FM app. Today is Wednesday, April 10th. And our Muslim brothers and sisters are celebrating the Eid al-Fitr, which is the holiday of the breaking the fast, marking the end, Lawson, of the month-long dawn-to-sunset fasting of Ramadan. Time now is 7.05 a.m. New South Wales time. I am in the studio. Guess with whom, everyone? Of course, Shell the producer.
And I hear a slight little mmming sound coming from something else.
Yes, from a voice now unfamiliar to the listening masses of Australia. Oh, well, maybe not. Hopefully people remember
Lawson is back with us. Lawson, we have received so much support from our listeners. Oh, they were praying for your recovery.
Yeah.
They were missing you. Welcome back.
I don't remember getting any, actually.
Oh, we did, Shell. We did.
That's okay. That's okay. Oh, well, whether you like it or not, I am back. And I'm happy to be back. I've recovered from my faux leprosy type. Well, not actually leprosy. I've had...
What happened to you? Everybody was wondering.
Yeah. So I had hand, foot, and mouth disease, which is usually something that only children get. It's like similar to
kindergarten...
That's right. But I've never had it before. And literally Newcastle Uni Church, we had an amazing Easter camp. We were preaching there and, there was a young family that was there. Shout out the Livingstons, and I accidentally drank from, one of the drink bottles of the kids. It's just all the drink bottles are the same. Accidentally drank one. They had hand, foot, and mouth a couple weeks before and that just did me in. So I've been, well and truly like quarantining, keeping away from people, hailing unclean in the streets, but now I'm back and I'm well and doing better.
Yes, awesome. They are indeed. And in today's show, we are going to be talking about sugarcane. Is it the fuel of the future? Bill Shorten to bar criminals from accessing NDIS. We're going to have an interview with Jennifer Skews on how to actually practice forgiveness. And finally, what happens when the church is persecuted? This and more in today's show.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Joined by myself, Lawson, got my homie, Big J, Big Joseph, in the studio this morning.
So good that you're back, Lawson.
And I'm glad to be back with you guys. Hey, we're going to have our first quiz question. It's simply this. What green hopping creature was associated with the first plague in Egypt? Was it frogs or was it grasshoppers? What green hopping creature was associated with the first plague of Egypt?
Wait a minute. How do you even know they were green? Because there's brown grasshoppers, brown frogs as well. But the question is not... I'm just joking.
You're just trying to lead people
on Shell. That being said, we do not want to know the color of these creatures. Mm-hmm. We want to know which one came first because both came as plagues.
Oh, big clue. Yes.
Both came as plagues in Egypt. So we want to know which one came first. If you do know the answer, send us your message to 0491-064-669 and you will be having your name added to the draw that will give our participants what, Lawson?
Oh, dude, I can see in the corner of the room and here on our desk, we have a stack of amazing books in the Angel Said Australia series. Essentially, these are children's books, picture books with beautiful illustration and stories all about how the gospel spread through Australia. These are fantastic to share with your kids. So if you have kids or you know someone who has kids or you know kids, these will be a blessing to you, these prizes. The Blazing... I've got this one in front of me, actually. Blazing the Trail, the Bubsy and Neville Westwood story. Now, this story is actually about the first vehicle to circumnavigate Australia, which many people don't know. It was this literal, I think it was a Citroen C27. It's like this tiny old car. That, you know, there's so many stories of.
At the time, he was probably not old.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, like.
So now.
We're talking about, like, the, you know, the early 20th century circumnavigating Australia. And not many people know that that first vehicle to do so was expressly for the
circumnavigating
purpose.
Circumnavigating. So it's also had amphibious qualities.
Not quite. It wasn't in the water, but it was like going through rivers and driving through, you know, like driving through all kinds of wild terrain, like no roads cut in those areas at the time. But again, expressly to share the gospel, amazing stories. And we have a bunch more of these books as well that we're going to be giving out along with this prize with the draw. So again, that question was, what green hopping creature was associated with the first plague of Egypt? Was it frogs or grasshoppers?
Yep. So they'll get three different books.
Oh,
yep.
Amazing.
Not necessarily the ones that we're talking about because there's seven to choose from, but yeah, we'll get three of them out to you.
And you'll be able to know them as well. Hey, you are listening to The Breakfast Show this morning. And in good news, we are talking about fuel. We're talking about energy. We're talking about all those things. You know, it has just come out a report from Europe, from a think tank over there called Ember, that 60% of the overall power demand in January and February in Europe was met by renewable energy. So that's like hydro or wind or solar or those kinds of things. Year on year, they're seeing a 15% reduction or drop in coal-fired energy power plants. And now you might be listening this morning, and this is, I think, a few different opinions that people have regarding energy and, you know, clean energy and whatnot. I think there are some that take the side of, oh, this is something we need to implement right now. If we don't, you know, the world's going to end. There are some people who take the side, okay, it's much less of a problem. You know, we've got heaps of time on this. Whatever side you're on, I really like the idea of renewable energy.
Yes, same.
More from the perspective that, like,
good stewardship.
Yeah. It also, like, you know, solar power, for example. There's no coal that you need to dig up. Like, I'm like, I've, in my mind, it's just easier. You know, if you're not relying on a coal fired power station, you can basically settle and go anywhere. Those kinds of things. Or on petrol itself. You know, if things were solar, you know, my dream is that, like, if I had a car that was solar and a house that was solar and everything is solar, I'm talking years and years into the future, like a solar powered car and all this stuff. Like, you can live completely
independently. You're not depending on anyone for your energy.
That's right. I think
it's great.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, here in Australia and the way that things stand,
you can have nuclear powered cars as well.
There are people. Like, very interesting and potentially dangerous, you know, if you get in a car crash and a nuclear payload goes off and destroys a city. But
I don't know if it's... because I think that for you to activate a nuclear bomb, you need to have, like, a massive bomb.
It needs to be fission.
It's not really... really that easy to be set
off. That's right. Absolutely. But despite these steps in Europe that we're seeing, and the more and more, you know, that they're adopting renewable energies and these, you know, clean energy sources and whatnot, here in Australia, the reality is the technology as it is, particularly like with transportation, the technology as it is doesn't serve the needs that Australia has, because Australia just is so vast. Like, we are so big. You know, the thought of towing a truck, you know, a truck towing a load across the Nullarbor just on, you know, petrol, sorry, I should say just on energy, or even on solar power. Like, there's no vehicle that simply that meets that standard to keep the trucks going here in Australia. And so the first step that we can take and that people are trying to take is into, okay, let's make, in some sense, renewable green petrol or biopetrol and, you know, biofuels and that kind of thing. Now, the main source of biofuel, or the main thing that biofuel is made out of worldwide, is sugar.
Okay.
And here in Australia, the sugar industry has actually been on quite a decline. There's been, I believe, three major sugar mills that have closed down in the last couple of years. And the sugar industry not going well. And one of the biggest reasons is actually because of Brazil. Brazil is really good at producing sugar. They have massive sugar plantations. Sugarcane is huge over there, and it's relatively cheap to produce there and import here to Australia. So the sugar industry here in Australia has been struggling. But recently in the University of Queensland, they've gone through and they've remapped and they've completely mapped the genome of sugarcane and found more efficient ways to be able to harvest sugarcane, and not just for the use of sugar, because we use sugarcane here in Australia, you know, for a lot of food products and, and whatnot. Even here in Australia, like all our soft drinks are made differently to the likes of America. Or in America, they have corn.
They use a lot of corn syrup.
They use corn syrup, whereas here in Australia, you know, our Sprite and whatever it may be, like soft drinks are different. Yeah. They're made out of different substances.
Sugarcane.
Made with sugarcane. That's right. Sweetened by sugarcane. But this remapping of the genome has actually shown them how they can best use sugar to actually also create better biofuel. Biofuel is also created in Brazil and India using sugar, but this more efficient, you know, method that they've worked out by mapping the genome has enabled us, you know, for Australian sugar production plants and whatnot. They're like, hey, we have the ability, because it's so much easier, we get a better yield. It actually, we have a win here that surpasses, you know, economically the need to import it from Brazil.
Wow.
So that means this will be a bolstering of the industry here in Australia.
How better is the yield after this new technique? And what is the new technique exactly? Is there the new technology involved with it?
So a lot of people are keeping, like companies are keeping it close to their chest. What has been released is the mapping itself, right? Because that's scientific information.
So they can actually extract more sugar out of the same amount of sugar cane.
That's right. That's right. That's bolstering the industry here in Australia, which is good news because, yeah, they've just been shutting sugar mills down left, right, and center here in Australia. But now with this, like the government is pumping heaps of money into it. And it's really cool because I think, you know, sugarcane in particular is a rural export and industry. You know, there's lots of towns revolving around sugarcane. Similarly to like here in Newcastle, you wouldn't necessarily call Newcastle these days a rural city. Although, you know, for a lot of international friends that I have, often they move to Newcastle for visa purposes and PR purposes because it's, you know, you get more benefits by, according to the Newcastle, Australian government, Newcastle is considered a rural area. So you get more benefits to your PR and your visa. But a place like Newcastle revolves around here, the coal industry, which again, lots of people have certain feelings towards. But yeah, looking at sugar as, you know, biofuel and whatnot that will be bolstering small towns, and we'll be doing our best as well, as you said, as stewards and when it comes to renewable fuels and whatnot, rather than relying on fossil energy and coal, being able to just produce our own and produce
a lot of it. Great news.
To be able to, yeah, keep traveling right around Australia.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
It's 7:25 a.m. now. Lawson, we did say something wrong in the first quiz. I think we mentioned that which one was the first plague. Well, the first plague of Egypt was the transforming of what?
Of water into blood. Yeah.
But the question was, which of these plagues came first, the frog or the grasshoppers?
Yes. So that's what we meant to say.
Yeah. So thank you, Braden, for raising this up to us. And now we have a second question.
That's right. Here we go. In the parable of the sower, the word of God is likened to, is it A, the sower, B, fertilizer, C, the seed, or D, the receptive ground? Again, in the parable of the sower, the word of God is likened to A, the sower, B, the fertilizer, C, the seed, or D, the receptive ground. If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669. That is the number to text if you text that number with the correct answer. We have, we just have a stack of books in the corner of the room from the Angel Said Australia series, all about the gospel spreading through Australia.
Books.
Yeah. I'm sure you've got some in the library for the kids.
I have almost all, and I'm coveting the ones that I don't have.
Well, you can't enter. Sorry, Joseph, you can't enter the quiz. Hey, again, in the parable of the sower, the word of God is likened to A, the sower, B, fertilizer, C, the seed, or D, the receptive ground. Again, hey, you can write the answer in. If you don't know what it is, A, B, C, or D. We have these amazing children's books that will be a blessing to you. Again, that number is 0491-064-669.
And even if you don't have kids, you can still enter into the draw. You can give it to a kid that you know, or even donate to your local library. I'm pretty sure that you will be doing a massive God service by making this book available to everyone.
Have a sneaky little read of it yourself before you send it off to the child, because you'll enjoy it too.
Yes. Look, I find this is an absolutely fantastic book. And, well, thanks for that, Lawson. I love the parable of the sower. It's one of my favorite parables. Mm. And it is the parable that, in my opinion, unlocks all the other parables.
Mm.
So it's a very interesting one. We can maybe come back to that one. But now, with the news today, Lawson, NDIS Minister Bill Shorten has warned the states that they should not use the NDIS as a dumping ground to fund support for violent criminals.
Wow.
So this came after the Australian revealed that one of the country's worst serial sex offenders, who was involved in a brutal 1980s abduction, rape, and murder of Janine Balding, is set to be released from jail with a generous help of an NDIS support package, over 24 hours a week worth of support. Mm. So this has sparked outrage from various sectors of society. And Mr. Shorten, who is the NDIS minister, says, "We do not believe it is appropriate for this person to receive NDIS-funded community supports in this case, and we are working to ensure this is the outcome within the law."
Mm.
So this particular offender, Lawson, according to the forensic psychologists that were assessing them, they said that they have not seen any sign of genuine change or remorse or repentance. Once he was released and he was caught offending again, and people were afraid, people were concerned that what is going to happen to the support workers working in his case?
Yeah.
Is he a safe person to be around?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. Hey, you know, regarding like government schemes like this, whether it's NDIS or Centrelink, there's always been questions regarding, well, I think with NDIS in particular, like NDIS scams. And it came out, I remember at one point a report was released saying that I think over $1 billion of NDIS was like going to organize crime through schemes and scams and whatnot. And so there's always been big questions around like, oh, the money going to the right people. But this is more of a moral question. Like, should people that are, you know, a certain way have access to support from NDIS if they're, you know, if they're a criminal, if they have this kind of history, should they just be allowed to have support in general, which is a huge question?
It's a question, but look, and this is where it gets even more interesting, Lawson. Mm-hmm. Because the question here is not either or not to give, you know, the man's support or not. Mm. The question is, should he be getting it from the NDIS or from the state judicial system? And the thing here is, and this is also from Mr. Shorten, he said, being a criminal is not a disability.
Mm.
Being a sex predator is not a disability. Mm. The NDIS cannot be responsible for criminals who are on parole.
Mm.
So there are schemes in place. And this is why what you mentioned, people are of diverse thoughts. For example, a lawyers groups are saying that access to this scheme should not be used as a means of ongoing punishment of people who have a criminal record. In other words, well, they served their time, they paid for whatever they did. We cannot penalize them because the right to health is a human right that applies to all Australians, whether they have a criminal record or not. So the question here is, you know, okay, NDIS doesn't want to provide for that because it can be dangerous for the support workers.
Mm-hmm.
This man in particular that we're talking about has not shown himself to be trustworthy, has not shown himself to have changed his ways or his mind or even believe that he has done anything wrong. Would you put a loved one there to aid him.
Mm. And at that point, I think like, okay, if this person is being denied NDIS because they're too much of a risk, why are they out on the streets? Like, if we deem this person to be like unremorseful, like, you know, you could say, okay, if there's no other place for them to go because they're not going to change and they're going to continue to harm society, like, shouldn't they just be in jail? But then, yeah, you know, that brings up more questions of, well, hey, like, they've already served their penalty. It's such a limbo here, yeah, of what to do with this person.
In theory, after you serve jail, the idea is that you are rehabilitated. And it is true that, well, maybe he was in jail for over 20 years, 24 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
And now that he is out, wouldn't it be good if he could have some kind of support to get back into society again?
Yeah.
So I am not against him having support.
Mm.
The question is, what kind of support and who is going to give that support? Is these people that can deal with men like him? For example, could it be that his support workers were not within the profile of his victims in the past?
Mm.
For example, instead of being young women, could it be a man, for example, that can, you know, or two that could handle themselves in a dangerous situation? Number one question. But the second question that I ask is this. They have all of these measures to try to reintegrate them to society, but there's one measure that is missing, and I do not know why nobody talks about. Why can't he be offered, for example, religious instruction?
Mm.
Someone that could come and open the Bible and teach the gospel. Now, when we talk with psychologists, they say that a psychopath, and he's a diagnosed patient with psychopathy, you cannot change.
Mm.
There's no known scientific treatment to change psychopathy. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Mm. So the Bible says that people can change. Now, perhaps the psychopathic traits will not disappear.
Mm.
But it could be the case that the Holy Spirit could do a work. Someone can give him a chance, and he can, on his own accord, recognize, you know what? I am a dangerous person. My mind does not work according to God's will. It's best for me to stay away from people who are a massive source of temptation to me.
Mm.
So when we're talking about changing people's lives, reintegrating people in society, but we never talk about who is the actual one power that could do this, not without the human annuance, but this power is called the Holy Spirit of God.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And we have the third quiz of the day, Lawson.
Yes, here we go. Third quiz. Fill in the blank. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the blank hand of the majesty on high. That's the book of Hebrews there, chapter 1, verse 3. Again, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the blank hand of the majesty on high. If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. And if you text that number with the correct answer, you will go into the draw to win our amazing prizes. The Angel Said Australia series we'll give you three books. I believe we've got like seven sitting on the table here, six or seven. We'll give you three of seven. I've got one here, the Stephen Haskell story, Keys of Faith, the story of Stephen Haskell, a major, you know, teacher and evangelist, awesome things taking place, who was able to, yeah, head to New Zealand and teach over there. Again, the angel said Australia is a series all about the gospel spreading right
character through. Building stories, Lawson. Yeah. This is what they are. Character building stories. Great examples of men and women with high moral fiber in the past. And I think that our kids will only benefit from listening to that. But speaking of moral fiber, speaking of today being the day of Eid al-Fitr, the day where Muslims all over the world are encouraged to forgive one another, we are delighted to bring to you our psychologist, our health psychologist, Jennifer Skews, that will be leading us and helping us to understand more of the practicalities of actually forgiving. Jennifer, welcome to the show and good morning to you.
Thank you very much. It's a beautiful morning here for a change. Lots of sunshine.
Oh, that's great. We wish we were there because we actually can't tell, can we, Lawson? We are in this studio, a black box. We have no access to the external world. So I do not know if it's raining or sunny outside.
What it is. Mm-hmm.
It is always sunny when we have you with us on the show,
Thank
Jennifer.
You. Question. We'll wind down, like, we'll finish off the thing we've been doing on forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what is your life like if you choose not to forgive? And I see it as a choice.
Okay.
We can choose to forgive or not to forgive. But what happens to life when we choose not to forgive someone?
Well, I think the first word that comes to my mind is bitterness.
Yes.
The second word will be feeling stuck. We actually are stuck in the past, in the hurts. Mm-hmm. Maybe the third word that comes to me is victim. We see ourselves as these victims and
yes.
we basically got into this very negative spiral of negative emotions.
Mm-hmm. The person, and what we do is instead of owning it and going, what was my part and what was wrong with them, why did they do what they did, and sometimes we misinterpret what people mean. So in actual fact, we're feeling hurt and they didn't mean that at all. So what happens if we can't or won't forgive, and it is, like I said, a choice, we carry what we call a grudge. And a grudge is persistent feeling of ill will. Right. So or resentment. And I don't know if you've ever felt resentment. I know I have.
Yes.
And I didn't realize it. And that went on for a long time ago with a friendship. And that destroyed the friendship because you cannot connect to someone and show love and compassion when you are being resentful of everything they say and do. So it really can destroy your life.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So one of the things I suggest, if someone does the wrong thing to you or you think they have, do not wait. Work on forgiveness immediately. Don't put it on the back burner and discuss it with them. You know, the Bible gives us a way of going to our brother or our sister and talking to them and check it out. And let them know how we're feeling, but not on a personal attack level. So that is a skill we need. We don't want to carry a grudge. If we carry the grudge and we're resentful, it's like a fire of fury within. You know, every time we think of it, it revs us up and we feel that anger and pain. And then we project it not just at that person, but it will affect our relationship with others. It's like a videotape. Within you, your mind and your soul, and it goes over and over and over. You find it hard to let it go. You wake up thinking about it, or something will happen and you see the person and you think about it. So it never goes away, and this is where we want to put it to rest.
Interesting. You know, Jennifer, I have experienced that in the past where I was resentful at people near to me. And I did ended up mustering all the courage that I had to talk to them and say, you know, friend so-and-so, I have a grudge against you and I really want to talk about it with you. And I'll tell you what, this was one of the best things I've done, because even though at the end, well, perhaps I don't have the exact same level of trust as before, but it helped me to clear out the air and to really move on and to even relate to these people
again. And that's what we want to do. But the more you leave it, and this was my experience, left it for a long, long, long time, by the time you get around to understanding and you let them know you're feeling resentful, it's too late. The person's already hurt by the way you've treated them and they don't trust you. So sometimes you lose relationships because you haven't been able to forgive. And sometimes you don't even know. You think, why am I feeling so upset about this person? That's when it's good to be able to look and say, is there something they've done that I am upset about? And explore it a bit more, see it on the forgiveness level. Because when we forgive, it heals the memory. And our memory's vision. Emotionally, we discharge the emotion of the pain. We remember the event, and it might be sad it happened, but we don't keep charging the actual emotional memory of it. Like, we're free of it, and that's very powerful. So it's doing a bit of a stock take to see, you know, what's happening for me, and am I hanging on to something? Why am I so upset with this person? Speak to someone. If you're not sure, run it by them, or particularly someone a bit more professional that'll go, well, yeah, look, you know, this is probably how the person's feeling, and looking at what we call setting those boundaries. But when I did this topic, I found some great quotes that people have done.
All right.
And so I've got a few here. We can discuss them, but very significant. And the first one is, the only way to heal the pain that will not heal itself is to forgive the person who hurt you, because it won't heal itself. We'll carry the pain. Now, that's what depression is. You know, when we get depressed and anxious, particularly depression, we carry the backlog of all the things that have happened, of the hurts we've had from early childhood through, and we never resolve it. So this is where, if we want to heal the pain, we have to go back and do a forgiveness trip. Write down all the things that you're still hurt and angry about. And if you can't do it with the person, this is where you can talk to God about it. And ask him to help you to forgive that person. So it's a very powerful thing to do those things.
Do you think that's limited to only people? I think, you know, carrying around depression, anxiety, I think a lot of people are angry towards maybe certain situations where it's not necessarily a person that they can point out and say, oh, you know, I'm depressed because of Joseph, or I'm depressed because of Shell, or my mum and dad, or whoever it is, but rather things falling through, things not going your way. Is it those kinds of things that we also need to, in a sense, forgive?
I think so. It can be little things that we don't forgive. It might have been the way the person looked at us, or words they used, and we never check it out. We just react to it and assume. We then read into it. Oh, the way they looked at me, they must be angry with me. And then, you know, what have I done? And we go through this, and then we carry it and we vilify it. We build it up. And that can be based on what's happened in the past that we've not been able to deal with. We get a backlog. It's sort of like what I call a house of cards, where we don't forgive and something else happens if it's with that person or others, and it builds until at the top level of the house of cards, someone does one thing and it just topples and all the anger and pain comes out. So we need to deal with it as we go.
Jennifer, I have another question in this topic. What if the person that you need to forgive is yourself? I have found that a lot of people find it very, very difficult to forgive themselves. How do you even do that?
How do you do that? It's a good question. I have had people ask me that. And looking at it from the biblical level, how do we forgive ourselves? Because forgiveness comes from God, and then if we've hurt others, they forgive us. But I find we can forgive ourselves because we know God has forgiven us. It's dependent on God's forgiveness. I have to accept the fact that God has forgiven me, therefore I need to let it go and realize that I'm forgiven. And that's when we're forgiving ourselves in a way. But it's not something we can just do.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, I think that one thought that I had on that subject is that if God, who is God, is able to forgive me, who am I not to forgive myself? And I think it comes to say, you know, I'm going to give myself some slack. I will accept the fact that I am not a perfect person.
Yes.
I will accept the fact that I make mistakes, and I will forgive myself for that. And I have a resolve not to make the same mistake again, and to make every amendment possible in my reach. And I think that with that, we can say, okay, we can move forward, We can move on.
Yes. And if we've done everything we can to correct the problem and have sought the other forgiven the other person or sought their forgiveness if they've done the wrong thing, then we can let it go and know that God has forgiven us. And I find the first port of call is to go to God if we do the wrong thing or someone hurts us.
Yeah.
And then go to the other person. If not, we go with our anger and we don't want to do that.
And
that makes it worse.
And what's the difference between the forgiveness that God offers versus the forgiveness that humans may offer?
Okay. Well, God's forgiveness, when he forgives, it wipes it. That's it. Because when we have done the wrong thing, it's considered to be a sin. We're breaking God's law. And when he forgives, in the Bible, it says, as far as the east is to the west. It's like put it in the divers right down in the bottom of the sea, because he never remembers it. We're the ones who keep carrying it.
So he forgives and he's not bringing that up.
No, he's not going to bring it up because he's forgiven us.
So when God forgives, the relationship with him is restored. God says, okay, we're back in good shape again.
If we don't forgive, it's hard to have a relationship with God. That's why going to him first and seeking his forgiveness, well, this is where Christ is our mediator, then the healing can occur and God doesn't remember it.
That's amazing.
We've got to do the same. We remember the event, and it might have been a sad event, but we no longer remember the emotional pain when we've truly forgiven and when God's forgiven us and we've forgiven the other person.
Wow. That is so impressive that, you know, we have that simple tool, which is so effective at our disposal. And what about people that feel that they need to forgive God? Maybe they've gone through traumas in their life and they say, you know, God, why do you allow that? How do you work through that for people that carry a grudge against God in their heart?
Okay. It's the same principle. We've got to go to God and say, God, I'm so sorry that I felt that way about you, because we've got to see God as a God of love and compassion. He would never hurt us. Okay. And some of this often when I speak to people comes from the Old Testament, where they see God as a rather angry, vengeful God, and it's not true. He tolerates. You have a look at what God's put up with, you know, when you look at the Israelites and what happened and people who just test his patience constantly. He doesn't just the first thing do is have vengeful with us. So we've got to have the same attitude, but we need to go to God. If I'm blaming God, he's the first port of call. Lord, I'm so sorry that I thought you were the problem. Because it's not true. This is where the devil comes into it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We've got an adversary who wants us to blame God and misalign his character.
Exactly. You know, once I met a man and he said, you know, why would I want to follow God if all of these bad things happen in my life? And what I wanted to ask him, but what about all the great things in your life? Who has given that to you? You know, if God, I think that the ultimate proof that God really loves us is that we're still breathing. Because if God had something against us, if he wanted to destroy us, he would have done it already a long time ago.
He could.
Isn't it? Mm. So I think
you'd have to do a lot for God not to disconnect. And that's what they call in the Bible, the unforgivable sin. And that's denying the Holy Spirit. So if it's our relationship with God, we can be angry with God, but it doesn't mean he's going to walk away. You know, it's the same with people.
Jennifer, we have only 20 seconds left, and I wanted if you could give us just a last thought for our listeners.
Okay, well, there's a very good one here, and that's, we think forgiveness is weakness, but it's not. It's strength. It takes a strong person to forgive, and this is why we feel weak and we don't do it. But go out there and start forgiving people that have wronged you and set yourself free, and God will set you free.
Thank you very, very much, Jennifer Skews.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.